Today, we got Tyler Lydon from NBA power forward to a power entrepreneur. That's going to work.
I like that.
Well, it's just going to work.
We'll make it happen.
Because it was PF to PE, and you're doing physical education.
Look at that.
It's like a double entendre or something.
You're a genius.
Listen, what I lack in height, I make up for in
it. Yeah, I like it.
Yo, you fucking will be famous.
Guys are looking sharp.
Zach Dingy,
Tony Capuano.
Two Hoops, Three Legs podcast, where we share business tips, interview experts,
and travel the world.
This week on Two Dudes, Three Legs.
Well, let's start with this guy right here. Where's this? So, Tyler Lydon is coming on our live event in, what's today's day? About 2 weeks. Not even 2 weeks. We got like 10 days until this event. So, we're doing a little pre-interview, but if you haven't got tickets yet, we'll put the link down below. You can click on this. We have a live event here in the Hudson Valley. But anyway, we're doing a pre-interview with our boy Tyler Lydon. So I'm going to give a little backstory here before we get into it.
Well, you knew Tyler, right?
I did know Tyler. We used to play, well, I actually never played with him. He was my coach, him, his brother, and the other guy who we've interviewed on this podcast for, Justin Cooper. They were my coach for AAU basketball. Tyler was, at the time, like, it was right before you went to Syracuse, I think.
Yeah, I would have been a senior in high school still. So
You would just torment us, and you would kind of just practice with us and destroy us all. Yeah. We were all like, what the f*** is wrong with this guy? Anyway, so we're going to get into a lot of stuff that, we're going to try to share a lot of the cool stuff at the event live, but we'll get into some other things now. So let's start with some simple things. Why did you choose to go to Syracuse?
It really came down to the assistant coach that was there at the time. His name's Mike Hopkins. He actually was just at University of Washington as a head coach, just got fired, unfortunately. But fucking awesome guy. And it was really like the whole recruiting process honestly got super annoying. I dealt with the same shit over and over and over again. I felt like he was probably one of like three coaches that were really sincere and real with what they were saying to me. So when I took that into consideration, plus it's, you know, 2.5 hours from home, all my parents and families and everybody can, they can all come to the games. I was like, it's kind of a no brainer.
Got it. Yeah. Speaking of which, who do you think is going to win March Madness this year?
It's tough. I don't know. I think UConn, but okay. I don't know. That's just an easy pick, obviously. I don't know. Everyone's like, yo, what's your f-ing bracket? I don't know.
You don't do it?
Just fill it. No, I do, but I'm like, fill it out. You're probably going to do better than I am.
There's no insider secret.
Zero.
Just
zero.
From playing college.
Take us through that, though, when you're getting recruited into Syracuse. You said it's a pain in the ass. I think, like, if I'm getting recruited into a big name team like that, it's the most exciting time in my life.
Yeah, no, it is. It's just hectic because, like, you have so many moving parts. You're getting, like, as a 16-year-old kid, my phone, the times where they could call you were different all the time. So it'd be, like, a three-day period where coaches could call you. And in that three-day period, it was, like, non-stop. And so when I was a freshman in high school at Pine Plains, it was, like, the first time my name kind of got out there and I was getting a little bit of offers here and there. I played AAU in that spring, and then I kind of blew up a little bit. And it was, like, dude, midnight our house phone was going nuts, like nonstop until like 1 a.m. My mom finally got to the point, it's hilarious, she tells the story, she's like, I picked up the phone, I was like, I don't know who the this is, stop calling us right now and just click.
What?
Then
I would have been like, mom, that might have been my my path to $1 million.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'll take every call.
So it's like, it's cool to go through that, obviously, want to be wanted, like you, everybody wants that shit.
Right,
it's just there's a lot that goes on, and then you get all the same shit. So it's like, you don't really know what's true and what's not. They're all saying the same thing. Oh, you're going to come here and play 35 minutes a game. It's like, am I really going to play 35
Could you
minutes?
Smell the bullshit that early on?
Some of them you could. Yeah, some of them you could. But I was fortunate enough, I had the right people in my corner. And now there's like, you get all these kids now that, and you see it all the time. There's a lot of them that just, unfortunately, have the wrong people in their corner and give them the wrong advice. And then they end up at a school and they transfer four times. And it's like, what are we f-ing doing here?
Well, you're rooted in, like, you come from a small town of solid family and, like, good foundation, good family values, all of that. So that helped you throughout the process?
For sure. They were just, like, my rock. And honestly, like, half the time, I wouldn't even be answering calls. It would be, like, my parents or whatever, you know, the situation was. And me and my older brother, Zach, super close. So I was always looking to him for guidance. And so I was really fortunate in that sense. But, yeah, it got me through the process for sure.
Good. Got it.
So you choose Syracuse.
Yep.
Let's talk about the success in Syracuse and moving forward from there.
Yeah. Well, freshman year got there. We went to the Final Four. So obviously you have like you're at the top of the top at that point.
You're how old? I remember that, dude.
At that time, I was 19.
That's wild.
So, like, my final game, my freshman year, I'm playing in front of 76,000 people in a football stadium.
When I was 19, I was Final Four at the bar. Every night. What?
Yeah, no, it was crazy. I mean, I remember we were in the Houston Texans stadium, and, dude, you're shooting in, like, your practice before, you know, the day before the game. In the fall, they're on the fucking court, there's a draft of wind because the stadium's just so big. So you're like, what the hell? And the kid, I don't know if you know Buddy Hield at all.
Yeah,
he played, he plays now with the, who's he with now? I don't know, he's with the 76ers, I think, or something.
He
like
was
that.
With 76ers for a while. I don't know,
whoever kinda, he's with now. So he's from the Bahamas, so he was like, dude, I grew up outside, like, playing on the beach where there was a breeze. So he was money
nasty
here, like, I'm shooting to the right and hoping it drifts.
That's
in.
Crazy. Yeah, there's a breeze because it was insane. Stadium's so big.
It was insane.
That's insane.
Crazy to think about.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, you come off of that year, right? And at that time, I was like kind of being considered a first round pick. It was up in the air.
Your freshman year.
Yeah, my freshman year. So there was a chance I was going to leave. And me and my family kind of had brief conversations about it and was like, let's just go back, you know? So end up going back. I knew the biggest thing for me was I was still skinny at that point. I needed to put on like a good 15, 20 pounds.
Yeah.
So I went into my sophomore year, did just that. And our team ended up being really solid. So on paper, we were like top 13, I think, to start that year, which was great, obviously. And then we just ended up honestly having a shit year. I didn't play like up to the standards that I probably should have. And it still was like time for me to get out of there, though. I was ready to reach that next level. Yeah. So
when you were at Syracuse, what's it like to go from Pine Plains, a small town, to Syracuse, where you have 76,000 people watching you and you're the shit?
Yeah.
What was that like?
I didn't handle it very well.
Of course not.
I just, you're 19. Yeah. I mean, more so in the sense, like, I didn't want anyone to talk to me. I didn't want to go anywhere. I wanted to be wallpaper. I wanted to just blend in.
Interesting.
You know? And so, like, you know, as a kid, you want to go to a party or something. And it was like the second you walk through the door, not to sound like arrogant or anything, but everybody just pulls the fucking phone out. So I'm like, this is not for me. Right. So Zach was at Cortland with Justin.
Yep.
And instead I would go to Cortland on the weekends or whenever we didn't have practice the next day, if I wanted to like let loose a little bit, and I'd go see those guys. So for me, I did not like the attention. And then going into sophomore year was even worse, because I was like preseason All-American nominations and like all this shit. So I'm like, fuck, I like couldn't go anywhere. Yeah, it's crazy.
Interesting. So you didn't want it at all?
None of it. Zero. None. Not
do you
one.
Feel like you were more known at Syracuse than you were in the NBA, like,
for sure,
your popularity?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the NBA, I'm a nobody.
Yeah,
you know?
But like, but still, you have the title of like you were an NBA player,
for sure. So. Yeah, no, it obviously goes a long way.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of respect that comes with that name and that title. But at Syracuse, like, I can go up to Syracuse now and like walk in any store, and everyone's like, "Holy shit, it's Tyler Lydon!"
Yeah.
That's dope.
Do you get it? Because you were always like a local legend. I feel like at Pine Plains, you guys went to state championship and lost, right?
We lost.
Pine Plains, okay.
Insane. We lost, but we lost.
He still looks pissed about it.
Yeah, that's the worst loss I've ever had in my life.
Isn't that crazy? You think you'd be more upset about what happened?
Yeah, but it's like bring it to your hometown.
It's the earlier stuff.
Yeah. Well, if I could go back to any,
it's always the case.
Playing, it'd be Pine Plains. That was like the most fun.
Bro, there's nothing like
carefree
high school ball.
Yeah, nothing. That's where like all these kids now, they're all like down and fucking depressed playing for their coaches and stuff. I'm like, I had the most fun ever at Pine Plains.
What was, okay, so just give us a little 30 seconds on the Pine Plains game that you guys lost. What? Why was it so bad? Like, was it a blowout? Did you guys lose by?
We have three guys that are 6'8", right?
Yeah,
6'9" at the time. Me and my brother, another kid was like 6'7", whatever. Justin 6'2", and then our other starting guard was fucking 6 foot. So we're huge. And the other team, Lake George, that we played, had one kid that everybody knew because he averaged 40 points a game.
Mm.
And we're like, just stop him, we win the game, easy. So we sat back in a 2-3 zone.
No, and he went like, lights out.
We had a lot of just minor mistakes, didn't shoot the ball well.
Of course.
Kinda, just had a shitty game, honestly.
How do you get that? Has Pine Plains ever even been close to that since you guys have left?
So. No. Oh,
how
God,
do you
no.
get
left? Fuck no.
How do you get almost every a starting five in a regular local high school with a town that has, I don't know, a population of
sounds
1,000?
Like a fucking Disney movie, bro.
How much is the population of Pine Plains? 1,000 people?
It's got.
I think
like
we looked it up the other day.
Yeah.
There's like 1,000 people.
That's it.
Yeah, there's one stoplight, and you get five guys that are over 6'3".
Yep. that year they did, someone, I don't know how they found the stat or why they looked it up, but we were a half an inch shorter as a starting lineup than the Brooklyn Nets.
That's crazy.
Which was wild.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's a
I played
stat.
At Arlington High School where 4,000 kids in the school. We had as many people in our graduating class we had in your whole town.
Yeah, yeah. It's wild.
And we had one guy who was 6'3" on my senior team.
Yeah. But we'd also, like, we'd go play, like, Poughkeepsie and all the bigger schools. I mean, we'd beat them by 30.
Yeah, you destroy them. Yeah. You guys were insane.
Yeah. Yeah, we choked.
All right. Anyway, so let's get back into college life. You didn't really, you weren't partying much. You didn't do any of that. You got no crazy Syracuse stories?
Unfortunately, not. No, I was pretty low key. Like I said, I would always just go to Cortland.
That sounds like he's got something he can't even talk about.
Yeah. I wish. No, I wish. Sophomore year too, like going in, I got a little bit of partying out of the way like freshman year, you know, but sophomore year I was so locked in on just trying to get to the league that I didn't want any parts of it. I just.
Why do you
then.
Think you ended up doing worse your sophomore year than your freshman year?
Way too much pressure.
Mm-hmm. I heard you say that in an interview, actually.
I was always, like, even going back to Pine Plains with Zach and Justin, I was the third option there. Those guys were the ones going out and scoring, and they were the guys. I was just going and getting 20 rebounds and 10 blocks a game and scoring when I could dunk on somebody, you know? Mm-hmm. So then, same thing, even at prep school, I ended up being the guy, but it still was a situation I was never used to, ever. So this is now me on the biggest stage coming off of a Final Four year, and I'm the guy. Like, the team is mine. And that's just, I couldn't fucking handle it. I just put way too much pressure on myself.
Well, it's easy to believe you're young, dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a lot of pressure for a young guy, especially having thoughts about the NBA.
Yeah, right. And I never thought that was honestly a possibility until, like, freshman year Final Four when people are like, hey, like, Carmelo was in an interview, and he's like, that Lion kid, he's a lottery pick. I'm like, the fuck?
Carmelo Anthony.
That's crazy to hear. So the you told us about the excitement of getting recruited into Syracuse. Now, it's got to be another level when you're getting recruited into the NBA. Take us there.
Yeah. So basically for me, once we played in the NIT tournament my sophomore year. The second we lost the game, I had my whole apartment packed up and I was ready to go home. So I was like, fuck it. I ain't finishing this semester out. I reached out to some of the teachers and shit for the classes. Like, hopefully I can get some of the credits online. But I immediately left for Chicago, where my agency was based, and we start a whole pre-draft process. So they bring in their 8 to 10 guys who are going to be in the agency, obviously. And you just fucking grind for whatever it is, 5, 6, 8 weeks. I forget how long it was. So I immediately left, immediately started that. And then you go through a whole team workout process, interviews at the combine, like the whole nine yards with that, where that's pretty stressful. So did all that stuff, and then draft came around.
Tyler, how does that stress materialize for you? Like, what's the nighttime like? What's like, what is going through your mind every night when you're in this like 8 week intensive boot camp?
Yeah. It was a lot because number one, I'm from the sticks, and now I'm living in Chicago in a high rise. So I'm like, what? I don't even know. I don't have an outlet to just get away from basketball for a second. So for me, that was always super hard to handle. So like I bought a fucking Xbox, which I never played Xbox. And me and my boys just play Call of Duty to just get away. But it was hard. I honestly had to go see like a sports psychologist because I was like fucked up mentally. I'm like, I don't know how to handle this. I need somebody to show me the proper tools to get through this and stay confident and not, you know, fold to the pressure again. So I did that and it helped a little bit, but it was still it was a crazy time.
That needs to be sponsored by Xbox, that answer.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, right.
That should.
Do you ever feel a sense of like imposter syndrome, like that time in your life happened and you can't even really, or do you feel very physically attached to that time in your life?
Honestly, I'm kind of indifferent about it. I don't know. Being the person I am and I think how I grew up, I try not to even think about it. It just was like I was always stressed. I was always anxious. So I honestly, like, every time I could, I was like, I want to get away from that moment, which is kind of crazy. There's a lot that I don't even really remember about that process because I was just so stressed out.
Well, stress can be a good fuel. We know how that part of the story ended up.
Yeah.
So it's like, you end up being a first round draft pick. That's crazy. When do you find that out? I have no idea how that would work.
About 2 minutes before everybody else does. I could have went to the draft. They invite like a select few guys. I think it's anybody that's projected in the first round. They invite you to go down to the draft. Other than that, you got to like sit in the stands with the fans basically if you want to be there and walk across the stage. So I got invited down and I chose to just stay at home. So me and my family, we threw a little party. The whole family came over and friends and shit like that. And my agent actually surprised me there. He was supposed to go to the draft in the city, came up to my house instead. And he was sitting next to me. He got a phone call and he's like, all right, you're up next. I was like, what? Holy shit. All right, here we go.
Damn,
yeah.
Bro.
Yeah, so he's tapping on my leg.
At that moment, probably.
Yeah, for sure.
What's going through your head?
Honestly, I was just trying to maintain my coolness, but I like, you're gone the next day to whatever team drafts you. So I'm like, I could be in Wisconsin. I could be in California.
It's like pure chaos.
The only benefit I think that I had was I did really well with the Lakers pre-draft, and they had the 27th pick. And then I killed it at the Milwaukee Bucks pre-draft too. And they were the 17th. So basically they give you a range and they're like, all right, you're going to go from 17 to 27.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers called my agent the day before and said, if Tyler's still on the board at that point, we're taking him. He's ours. So I knew I was going in the first round at that point, but I just didn't know where. So I was still on edge and just trying to figure it all out.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
It's making thoughts rush through my head. Are you even thinking about money at that point?
No, not one bit.
I could think of. I don't know.
Yeah. It's obviously it's hard not to. I never went to the NBA like for the money. I just was like, that's my dream.
Right.
It obviously is a really nice side perk
for me. That's such a strange thought because basketball has never been my dream. Maybe being a basketball, I could fucking never even imagine. So
yo,
how many drafts have there ever been? How many years of the NBA have existed?
Fuck, I gotta look that up. I
like 80 years, like, yeah, 90.
Okay,
and then 75th anniversary was like 2 years ago.
Okay, so let's say 75.
Yeah.
And then how many pit rounds are there in the draft?
Two.
There's only two rounds.
Yeah,
in the NBA draft, there's only 32 teams.
Yeah.
Damn. So you're talking about you're within a class of like. There's like not a lot of people on Earth who have.
Oh no, I think the number of NBA players ever that stepped foot and played in a game is like 3,000.
And the craziest thing is, in America, I think that's the most like generally played sport. I don't know if it's the hardest to get into the NBA, but like when everyone plays basketball, I feel like nobody's I'll go hoop at the court or I'll go at the YMCA. You know what I mean?
For sure.
And then there's so many people that are trying to get to the next level. But how many people from high school even play in college and how many from college even play in the NBA?
I think the percentage is like 0.0003% ever get to like the NBA, and it's like 0.03 ever make it to college or something, or 2%.
When did you think it was like, when did you know it could be real?
The NBA?
Yeah.
Like, it was really, it was like during that Final Four run.
At Syracuse,
yeah,
freshman year.
Got it. That was when my name was being tossed around, like, and articles are coming out. Is he leaving? Is he staying? And that was the first time I ever even honestly thought about it. I was getting like recognition nationally for some stuff, you know, doing well in the ACC at times and shit like that. And, but there was nothing really about the draft until that run.
Why didn't you go your first year?
I just knew I wasn't physically ready. So I was like, I want to be able to go and try to play right away, you know, as a pick. I don't want to have to go sit out a year because I need to get stronger or I'm not ready. I wanted to go and try to be locked in and play right away, which is obviously a lot harder than anyone thinks.
But. So this is a question for you've been asked a million times, but what's the difference between before you got in the NBA, what you thought it was going to be, and then after you got, how much different was it?
Basketball wise, nothing. I like anticipated a lot and I felt like I was in a good mental space basketball wise, but the business side,
it's crazy.
It was insane. Yeah. That's honestly like a big reason why I stopped playing.
Did it take the fun away from basketball?
Sure. 100%. Not even a question. I like couldn't watch an NBA game or basketball for like, I didn't watch
it.
Damn,
it took that bad of a taste in your mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
So playing was fine. You were okay with the pressure of being on that, on that new court.
Yep.
But okay, so bring us to what in business made it so bad.
There's a lot to go into it, but it was basically as a first round pick, you're guaranteed so many years on your contract. Depending where you're at, it also affects how many years you're guaranteed on the contract. So if you're like a lottery pick, you might get 4 years guaranteed. If you're the end of the first round, which I was, you get 2 years. So going into my second year.
So just real quick, break that down. So you're guaranteed 2 years contracted with that organization.
Yep.
meaning they can't get rid of you, like you show
they could
up.
They could, but like that money is guaranteed to you. So if I was traded from the Nuggets to the Raptors, like my contract's still good for 2 years.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah.
Okay, and then what type of money are we talking about? Are you at liberty to share that?
Yeah, I think my first year was like 1.5 mil, and then the second year was like 1.7.
And
or something
you're
like that.
20 years old.
21 at that time now, yeah.
I wouldn't have lived. I would have made it out.
my financial advisor, who I'm still with, he's the fucking man, but he was like, I don't have like regular people that spend the amount that you do. Like, I just don't spend anything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how do you find these people? How you know, you get drafted in, people are coming to you,
yeah,
left, right, and center,
yeah,
I'm sure. And then like, how do you decide who's good for me, who's on my side, and who's here to get in my pocket?
Just kept my circle super, super small. Like, realistically, I didn't have anybody that I wanted to talk to. And if they wanted to talk to me, they were almost going through like my family.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Like, then no one was giving out my number. If I was on Instagram, I was deleting all any DMs that people were sending, all that shit. So yeah, my circle was kept super, super tight.
What was the most starstruck you ever were in the NBA? Playing against anyone?
No, I get that all the time. And at that point, I'm now like LeBron, I got to go guard him. Sure. Yeah. But like, that's my competitor. You
yeah,
know?
You didn't
I didn't
really
at that
anything.
Point too. You're also like, I don't feel like I'm that much worse than he is. Obviously,
yeah,
in the grand scheme of things, I am. But like, when you're stepping foot on the floor and shit, and you're guarding the guys, you're like, ah, fuck that, yeah, I can guard you.
You got to switch edge. That
yeah,
mentality.
You have to,
too.
Have
yeah.
to. I mean, I was like excited to meet some guys and be around them. Like, I grew up a Knicks fan, so Wilson Chandler was a teammate when I was drafted to the Nuggets. He played for the Knicks. Grew up watching him, so I'm like, the first or second day, I'm doing recovery and I'm in the cold tub, and he walks in. I'm like, what's up, Wilson? This is fucking sweet. You know, I'm texting my boys and shit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wouldn't really say there was like anybody in particular that I was like, holy shit, you know?
Right.
Got it. Who was the best guy you played with on your team?
Nikola Jokic.
Got it.
By far.
Oh, yeah. He's an MVP.
Yeah.
Now.
He's the best player in the world.
Yeah.
By far.
That's a hot take.
No, he's a center. Okay. Never mind.
Yeah.
You still play power forward in the NBA too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, we would match up in practice and shit like that. You get switched on to him, whatever the situation is. And then
one on
just,
one,
fuck,
you're taking him?
Saying a prayer. No, yeah. Fuck no.
Nah.
No.
Nikola Jokic, he's a dog.
He is a dog.
Who's the hottest take of who you think you could take that people might disagree with you with? One on one.
Right now?
Yeah, drop a name.
Nobody, because my knee is fucked right now. I've had like 5 knee surgeries.
All right, now
have you really?
I've had 2 major ones and 2 minors. I had 1 major, so I blew out my knee my rookie year.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
I was playing really well. So, like, when you're a first rounder, basically, you're going back and forth between the G League. If you're on a roster that's good, we were a playoff contending team. So, and we had 3 power forwards in front of me. There's no fucking way I'm seeing the floor. So, they would bounce me back and forth from the G League.
Yep.
Go down for a little stint in the G League. I'm killing it. And then brought me back up for like a couple weeks, sent me back down. And when I went back down, boom, felt the pop in the first 30 seconds of a game and straighten my knee out.
You think you would have played longer if it wasn't for that?
I don't know. I don't really know that really played too much of a part, because that year was going to be a development year for me anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I did a great job in my rehab, and I came back faster, stronger, more athletic than I was before. And I felt like that was the best basketball player I ever was at that point into my second year. So, to me, in my eyes, I don't really think it set me back too far. If anything, the only thing it might have hurt is just the experience of the on-court playing time. Like, at that level, you have to play with the guys because of how fast-paced the game is and, you know, how quick the reads are and shit like that.
Yeah.
So when you lose that time, maybe that affected me a little bit, but not
so it was
time.
Like a catalyst, if anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so then if it wasn't the knee, let's talk about, you know, you said it was the bad business. Take us back to that.
Yeah, so going into my second year in the contract, I think it's in October, middle of October. Basically, right after all the preseason games, the team then has to sign you back for your third-year team option. So they're the ones that decide, all right, do we want to keep Tyler or not? And going into that point, coming off my knee surgery, all this shit, I thought I played some of the best basketball I ever have. I heard rumors from teammates that were talking to front office guys saying that I was potentially going to start or be the sixth man on the team. Like, shit that I never thought was going to be a reality thing for me, you know?
Yep.
And then other players on the team being like, yo, coach just told us that you were the best guy in the summer the entire time. And you're talking guys that are who they are now.
Mm.
And So I'm at like my highest point. I get into training camp, and prior to that, I was always playing with like the first and second unit guys and scrimmages and shit like that. And get into training camp, and it was like, dude, somebody fucking flipped the switch. And the coaches, front office, nobody would look at me. Nothing. Yeah, it was really fucking weird. So I'm in training camp, and like, what? They just were trying
somebody
to, like,
in their ear, do you think?
Like, no, I don't think it's anybody in their ear. It's just they're making a decision at that point. They just drafted Michael Porter Jr. Mm-hmm. And they just drafted a kid, Jared Vanderbilt, who's another power forward. Both fucking great players, you know?
Yep. I know them both.
So now you have those two that they just drafted, and then they had me and three other power forwards. So there's fucking six of us at the time. And it's like somebody's got to go. For whatever reason, I was that guy. And I just – the way that it all happened – was really rough, and there was opportunities for them to trade me to teams that told my agent I was going to play, and they were going to guarantee me that year on the contract. So there was like six teams in the West and like four in the East. All of them were trying to trade for me and telling my agent we're going to pay him and he's going to play for us right away. So you're thinking, all right, I'm going to go someplace now. And they're like, nope, owner told the front office they can't trade me to anybody in the West. So those six teams gone, done.
What?
Then the four teams in the East, their answer why they didn't trade me was because they weren't getting basically a player of my caliber in return. So from a business standpoint, you're not paying me, right? So like my contract's done after this year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That clearly means I'm not going to play this year for you.
Right.
So I'm basically worthless. Like I'm just going to sit on the end of your bench now and essentially like rot basically.
Yeah.
Right. And so I called our president at the time or vice president and I demanded a trade and he was like, oh, we'll try, we'll do what we can, and never fucking happened.
So don't you become a free agent though after?
So I was a free agent after that.
And then you can go anywhere.
I can go anywhere. I can sign with anybody. Yeah.
And nothing happened?
I ended up signing with the Kings, but it was a non-guaranteed deal.
Okay.
And at that point, I honestly, like, I was telling guys in the locker room, they were like, oh, what are you thinking of doing next year? And I was like, dude, I hope I'm fucking dumb.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, I don't
know. It turned you off that much?
Oh, yeah.
Just because of the business, you're saying?
Yeah.
Because that side.
Yeah. Which is, looking back, I mean, probably a little immature in that sense, like being a young guy and trying to figure it all out. I should have stuck through it for sure. And I think, like, I still would probably be playing if I just was like, hey, put your head down and grind a little bit and fucking get over it. But instead I just kind of like shut down.
So,
like,
so there's a piece missing here. Hmm. If you were so confident to walk away, unless it was just an immature decision, there had to be something else to go to that was better. There wasn't even a job, an opportunity.
Nothing.
You were just like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just crazy. Really?
You regret that or no?
No, okay. No, because my life would not, it wouldn't be what it is now. If,
yeah, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, you know, like I got a fucking awesome house. I'm close by to my family. We just had a son, you know.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah.
How old?
He's 7.5 months now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, you're in it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm in.
My daughter's 11 months now.
Look at that. That's look at us. Yeah, yeah. Son, dad gang right there.
Shit, I might have to do a little breeding, get some hype. We'll have a Capoletti that's actually a true 6 foot.
Yo,
that's hilarious. That was hilarious.
That's crazy though. So you were turned off so much by how that was, and you're 22 or 23 at the time you leave.
So now I would have been 23.
Mm.
Yep. And then honestly, I don't know that it necessarily played a big role, but I got waived by the Kings. So I come back home and I'd move all my shit from California, drive it back here. And it's kind of like this in-between period where there are some teams still calling my agent. And then there's overseas teams, which is a great option, obviously, to go make money and play against great competition, obviously.
Yep.
And then COVID happened. And like the world's shutting down and I'm like, well, fuck, thank God I didn't do that, you know? Cause at that time it was
stuck
like
in Europe, everyone's dying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was like, all right, I'm just gonna chill out and ride this out now. And then LMC happened.
If there was a team you could have played for, what was your favorite
team? Bucks.
Really?
Just because I loved small town vibe, like Milwaukee, super small town or city, I should say. And I loved, like, the coaching staff was fucking dope. Front office was awesome. And I don't know what it was, but the second I stepped in there for, like, my pre-draft process and the workouts and stuff, I killed it. So I don't know if I just had a really good, like, vibe and just...
Now, do you reach out to them after you become a free agent?
I mean, my agent was talking to guys and shit.
Trying to?
Yeah, yeah. They were trying to. But, you know, it's got to be right situation. And at that point, too, like, I essentially rode the bench basically my second year in the NBA. I mean, I played a little bit here and there. Did some time in the G League, but there's really not like true game film of me.
Yeah.
You know, like against NBA level competition. So, and then when I was with the Kings, I was there for really, it was like 3.5 months. And then I found out that I had a torn labrum in my hip. And there were some other reasons why I guess they waived me. But so I had no film from that year either. So teams that were going to try to sign me, they're just taking a chance on a guy, yeah, you know, now at this point.
All right, let's go to the positive side of things. What was your best moment in the NBA? What was your favorite moment?
I don't really have like, I guess everyone would probably say like just stepping on the court for the first time, scoring their first point, something like that. But to me, it was more like the relationships I built. You know, I'm not like crazy close with a lot of those guys, but I have a couple that I'm still like, I could call them up or FaceTime them right now. They would answer. And like, you know, those relationships to me go a really long way.
Good answer.
Yeah. I like that. That's mine.
You get any of them to come to your camps and stuff? That'd be wild.
We were going
to
have Isaiah Thomas come to a camp.
No shit.
Yeah. He was going to come.
You can play him. He's your size.
Yeah. Yeah. No, still
yeah. He would fuck you up.
Nah, he's sick.
I have one fucking leg. No. I wouldn't even
I forgot.
Like, oh, yeah. Send me the film.
he was going to come down to NEMA, New York Military Academy.
Yeah.
And we were going to run a camp. And then, the week before we had my camp that we do in Pine Plains, and a coaching staff member got COVID and was around all of us. And at that time he was still trying to like get back in the league, and he was like rumored to have workouts. So as his boy, I was like, yo bro, like, I don't know if this is smart. Like, God forbid we fucking come tomorrow. Right. And like try to run this. I get COVID, you get COVID. Now you can't work out for teams. There's no way, you know? So
he's about to go. Isn't he about to get signed to a 10-day contract? I think I just saw.
Yeah, with the Suns, right?
Yeah. He's about to go back into the league. He's about to go back into the league.
He can still hoop too.
Yeah,
he's so nice.
Do you know who that is?
Nope.
How tall is he? 5'9"?
Shortest guy.
Yeah, he's 5'8".
Yeah, he was second in running in the MVP. Like his best year. I mean, he's a dog.
Yeah. Did you ever play with him? Did you end up playing with him at all?
Yeah, when I was with the Nuggets.
Okay.
Yeah, so we were teammates for my second year with the Nuggets. Best teammate I probably ever had.
Got it.
And he's fucking awesome.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I was going to ask about leaving money on the table. Do you have any regrets about that? Because to me, I think about it as a like a business decision that maybe was made poorly. And I think that you kind of feel that way too.
100%. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I was in a business where I could have changed like generational wealth in my family.
Right. But so they were hoeing you bad.
Yeah. It was not fun to deal with at that time. But there's definitely nights where like I look back or I'll stay up because I can't fucking sleep thinking about it, where I'm like, I was the one in my family to have the chance, like nobody else. And then I'm thinking like, oh, what would my brothers have done? Like they would have stuck it out, or what would my parents? So that's the part that when I really start to like break it down and think about it, it fucking like that kills me.
Yeah. I just think that like you might have those thoughts, but everything happens for a reason,
Now
you got this going. Yeah. And what if you did stay out there and you'd had this terrible experience continuing to be thrown around like a number.
Yeah. I mean, hindsight's 20/20, right?
Like, yeah.
Fuck, it is what it is. Can't go back. So
shit is good now.
Down to go hind.
That's it. Yeah. Exactly.
Yo, guys, we're live on 2 Dudes 3 Legs set with Zach and Tony. We got Tyler Lydon in the house. We're getting ready for the event on March 30th at the Academy. It's a live podcast event. We're going to hear his story and everything. Right, guys? How's it going today on set, guys?
It was pretty good until you interrupted us. We're in the middle of this podcast, bro. What's going on here?
Tony, show me that flyer.
Wait, and we're going to see you guys live at the Academy on the 30th. What's up? As an amputee, people always come to me. They ask me the fucking weirdest question. So you're tall. You were just telling me people always comment and they're like, oh, what's the weather like up there? Do people ever ask you if you know other tall people?
No.
Really?
That's a good question. No. Yeah.
Do you know Kyle Neville?
No.
That was, there he is. That's my boy. He's local. Tall as shit. Shouts out to my boy. Yo, I swear all the time people walk up to me. They're like, oh my God, you're an amputee. Yeah. They're like, do you know Billy Baboobie? And I'm like,
yeah, we just hang out. All of us.
No, does he have one leg? And they're like, oh yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, I saw him at the meeting. Like, the one leg meeting. What do you think we do? Like, there's
like
no,
it's a fucking AA meeting.
Seriously. Like,
that's so funny.
We swap shoes and shit. Yeah. Like, what do you think goes on?
We buy pairs. You gotta find an amputee with the other foot so you could swap shoes.
Swap
all the time.
Shoes and whatnot. Yeah. Yeah, you asked me that dumbass question. Yeah. Like, do you have to buy different size shoes? No, they make the foot match.
Yeah, whatever, bro. I don't fucking know. Crazy.
We learned so much about amputeeism early on in this.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Tism. Yeah, you're the fucking tism. The tism.
Yo, it's Tony. Tell them about your and one.
The and one. Oh yeah, I was wearing the and one sock, and I was like, oh yeah, that's how I can't count my feet. And one.
And one sock. Yo, that was crazy though.
Yeah, bro.
You
that's
got
like
and one socks.
Yeah, bro, they sell them at Walmart.
That's crazy.
What are you talking about? Next he to ain't cultured.
He's way out the culture, bro. You don't know what he's crazy. Doing.
The and one socks. Wait, does that sound like it's like a dope brand? It's Walmart.
And one's just like a comedy brand. It's like.
Oh, okay.
Like you get roasted in high school.
Oh, yeah, I was definitely.
You get roasted.
I'm surprised I wasn't getting roasted. I guess I will when this hits.
Yeah.
I'm with Tyler Lydon talking about and one socks.
You ever met Shaq? Another tall guy?
No.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
That's the guy that I'd like to meet.
No, yeah, he would be a good one.
Yeah,
that's Shaq would be big and scary.
Yeah.
Shaq talk like this. Shaq owned a lot of business. Make a lot of money. Yo, you ever hear Shaq talk, bro?
Yo, that's it, though. No, Charles Barkley cracks on him and says shit just like that.
He speaks in the third person.
Shaq don't like when you talk like
Shaq
that.
Shaq is low-key genius, and I think he's worth like $300 million or something. Yeah, he's got his hand in everything.
A lot of money.
Bro, he's on the General
the
car insurance commercials.
Yeah.
He's killing the game.
It's easy to get your way in any business.
Speaking of which, you're about to open up a solar office in Syracuse. You want to sell solar in Syracuse?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm down.
Cool.
Yeah.
We can knock on doors.
We can use him for site visits.
I got some good connections up there.
Yeah, you probably do, actually.
He can hold the sun.
That's crazy. I just put that together. We literally had a meeting yesterday about opening up an office in Syracuse.
The best thing is when you go to the bar and someone's like, yo, how fucking tall are you? I say, guess my height. If you're right, I'll buy you a beer. If you're wrong, you buy me one.
And then you just lie. You tell them the wrong one.
No, I'll just fucking pull out my. I'm an honest man. I'll buy him a fucking beer. But they're always like, you're 7'3". No, dipshit. I'm 6'9". Buy me a beer and they'll buy you fucking beer. So I get free beer all the time.
So you're in the NBA. Were you single at that time? You're married now?
No, I was with my girl.
You were with your girl?
Yep.
Damn. I was going to ask questions about you know, that. Groupies, bro. No. Did you still get approached by groupies?
For sure.
Like Tyler?
Yeah. Yeah. All
right. Tell us the worst Swipe story. Delete. Let's go. That's it?
Yeah.
Good man.
All virtual?
Yeah. I mean, you'd get the occasionally you go out.
Little floozy. She's like, oh, I saw you playing on the court. What are you doing later?
Yeah. No,
and you're like,
that.
Get out of here, ho.
I was, I'm pretty laid back as we've kind of talked about. So I was off all that.
When you go out with the boys on the team, is it even crazier? Like nonstop?
Yes.
You can't go anywhere?
Yeah. It's fucking insane.
Damn, I want to ask
I was just actually at a Tecato in Fort Lauderdale, and Joe Burrow walked in.
Yeah, so it's...
And everyone was, like, trying to get up, take pictures. He was sitting everyone down, but...
Yeah, I think I went to the club, like, maybe twice. I mean, I'm not a big club guy, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
And it's the most wild scene ever.
In what town? Where were you?
Miami was one. Yeah.
Tell us.
So this is when you're traveling for games.
Yeah. We were playing the Heat. Or we played the Heat. We just played them, and it was that night. We were the coaches. The coaches all understand too. Like guys want to party. It's like and be fucking celebrities a little bit. So if you have that, if you have like a 2-day break, which is pretty rare, like where you're in Miami and you got to go play in fucking Indiana the next day, right? Or you know, if there's that 2-day break, they'll sometimes let you stay. So we were in Miami. And they're like, all right, we won the game. Guys did well. Like we're just gonna delay the flight till tomorrow morning.
Mm.
So. Guys all went out, asked me to go out, went out with them, and it's fucking wild. Everybody's just blowing money and girls
What's
everywhere.
What's that like? Right? Take us there. You're just, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You're throwing it
around.
Are
you just chilling though? Like you're just, you're not getting down at all?
No, all the vets are like, you don't worry about anything because they're all on fucking $30, $40 million contracts. Yeah. So like, we got everything. But when you hear they're spending $20,000 on a table and you show up and we got 4 or 5 tables and then the bottle service is endless.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And then, I mean, all the guys on the Nuggets, that's when we went out, they're fucking awesome, like down to earth guys. So it's not like anybody on that team wasn't doing anything crazy. It's just the attention that's on you is crazy. You know, like you walk in and the fucking MC's on the mic, like, all right, the Denver Nuggets are in here, like, and everyone's fucking going nuts and confetti flying. It's like, fuck.
That's so dope.
Any rappers ever pop in where you were at?
No.
Got it.
No.
What? So the drinking it's happening. Like guys are drinking because they can do that. They're just physically able to. Like,
yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like that's once in a blue moon. Got it. Kind of a situation. Yeah, it doesn't happen very often. And when it does happen, it's like the right plans are in place. So you're recovering still the next day and like making sure you're taking care of your body because you got to, you know.
So do you feel like in a sense you like skipped out on like parties and vacations or like earlier on in high school and college in order to like pursue your dream?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I never really partied in high school at all. I mean, I did 2 years at a boarding school, so it's like impossible to party there, obviously. And if you did, you got kicked out if they found out. So it's like, can't take that risk. And then I didn't do much at Syracuse at all. So yeah, I mean, I was pretty dialed in, but that's also kind of part of it. You know, that's what it takes.
What's Tyler Lydon's favorite hobbies?
Favorite hobbies, hunting, fishing, being with the family, shooting guns. I don't know.
You bow hunt or rifle?
Where do you shoot?
Where? At my house.
You got your pistol permit?
Yeah.
Lit. You got to shoot. Of course. Wait, like right at the crib?
Yeah, yeah. We can shoot at my house. But my
uncle lives in fucking middle of nowhere.
Yeah, my uncle, well, he's technically not my uncle. We just call him uncle. One of those situations. Yeah. He's got a farm. So we go shoot there a lot. We shoot at my parents' house. Yeah.
That's the best, bro.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome.
It's expensive now.
It's, shout out Biden. Very expensive.
Shout out Sleepy Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. Very expensive, though.
Yeah.
So a lot of the day-to-day now is doing a lot of the hobbies. I know you're obviously focused on the business, which I don't want to get into right now, but it's hanging out with the family. You're not doing nothing crazy. You built your own house, right? Didn't you?
Yeah,
didn't
my
you
dad runs house? A he runs a construction
business.
Yeah.
So you built a beautiful house out in the woods?
Yeah. Yep.
Got it. Yep. Got it. So you're living the life out there.
Yeah, I'm chilling.
So I don't know if you've seen it. That's like our question we always do is that who would you go into business with? Who would you bankrupt? And who would you take a bubble bath with?
Bubble bath is crazy. That's
crazy. So, can you imagine the size of the bubble bath?
I have to see the size of the studio.
I would drown in that bitch.
Be a pool.
It's a pool at that point with some soap. All right, who would you go into business with? Who would you? I mean,
we
does
gotta
that really
change
make
that
sense
bubble bath
in,
thing.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense in basketball terms. Didn't we ask it a different
who
way?
Who cares? Let's see if he's got an answer. If not, don't answer it.
Didn't we answer a different way though when we asked Justin?
Right, business, bubble bath, and bench. Well,
no, start cut. I mean, bench
you just
start cut.
The bubble bath part.
Oh, shit. I meant to cut that one out. Bubble bath, and bubble bath.
It's start, bench, cut.
Got it. All right.
Start,
so we'll,
bench.
Yeah, there you cut. Go. We'll try that again. So start, bench, cut, Kobe, LeBron, MJ.
Start, MJ, bench, Bron, cut, Kobe.
Wow.
Yeah, which is tough.
Yeah, I mean, there's
I don't really honestly even have a reason for why I'm cutting him. It's just LeBron and him are interchangeable at that point.
Got
you're
it.
Starting MJ, and if you're not, you're fucking original.
So build me your all-time starting five.
All-time starting five. Steph at the one, MJ at the two, Bron at the three, KD at the four, Shaq at the five.
Shaq at the five.
KD at the four?
KD at the four. Or Bron. I mean, whichever one you want. They're interchangeable there.
Okay.
Shaq's the most dominant of all time, so he's on the roster no matter what.
I agree.
MJ's the GOAT.
Here's Bryce's
LeBron
question.
LeBron second.
The original Space Steph Jam or the new one?
Fun fact, never seen either.
Wow.
Really? Never seen the original, yeah.
Oh, bro, all Space right. Jam's one of my
Listen,
favorite fucking
the new
movies
Space
ever.
Jam, garbage.
I've never seen it.
But if you haven't seen the old Space Jam, you're crazy.
Why?
Yeah, no, never.
Why?
What's wrong with you?
I don't
you?
Know. Maybe, no, it, like, maybe my mom had it playing in the background or something, but I'm...
Like, are you a movie guy?
Big movie guy.
Yeah, you're... Yeah.
Yeah, bro, but I also do basketball all day, every day.
Yeah, but so that's like a...
I know. Yeah, it's a staple.
That's a classic,
it's a staple.
Bro.
It's a staple. Yeah, no, I don't know. I just never have.
All right, give me your best favorite movie then.
My favorite?
Top five. Give me one of the top five. Give me a couple that your favorite movies.
The question is top three basketball movies. But...
Well, he don't even watch any basketball movies.
Blue Chips is my favorite basketball movie.
Okay.
Have you seen that one?
Nope.
Very solid. It's a good one. My favorite movie of all time? I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Titanic. I know it.
Big Titanic guy.
He would have been
the Notebook, actually.
I've seen that more than I wish to.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, before we cut me out of the conversation completely. Spalding or The Rock? No, I want to talk about.
That's a good question.
Smart money.
Are
moves.
You a Rock guy?
Rock guy.
Hell yeah.
You gotta be.
All right, we got the answer.
Gotta be.
The Rock.
Gotta be. A
couple of my friends are the Rock guy, but the Rock gotta that be. You buy in Poughkeepsie, not the one you shoot with.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess you could shoot it if you melt it down.
Yo, bro.
What?
Holy shit.
What?
Clip
unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good clip right there. It. That's a good clip.
Put it on Reddit.
Yeah. Anyway, smart money moves you made to because you said in the earlier interview that your financial advisor admitted that you were really good with your spending.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some smart money moves you made.
The biggest thing is just the smartest thing I've done is honestly getting him, and he just handles all of the investing side and stocks and bonds and all that bullshit. I haven't really ever been out and like invested in an actual business. I mean, I have recently once.
Well, you have a portfolio.
Yeah. One's more recent that I technically can't talk about, quite yet, but yeah, that's.
What's the biggest purchase you've ever made?
Built his house.
Yeah. Probably the house that I bought in Denver, but that was it. No.
You didn't buy anything crazy?
I bought my house and a truck and.
Wait, you bought the house. Did you? What year did you buy it?
That would have been 2017.
And then you sold it after COVID?
Yeah, kind of like during.
So you made out on that.
I did well. Yeah. And I put a little into the house too. I didn't like go buy a nice house, actually. I bought one that was big in a nice area, and I put like a good chunk of change into it, fixed it up a little, and
got your money back out of it?
For sure. Yeah. Made some on it too. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I looked at that as an investment.
Yeah, you did good on that one. Thanks to COVID.
I got drafted in the lady who helps out with like all the players in the transition process, getting you an apartment, a house, whatever. She's awesome. Her name's Amy O'Brien. Fucking great lady. But she was telling me, she's like, yeah, it's going to be like $10,000 for an apartment or a house to rent like every month. And in my eyes at that time, like I never had a payment like that.
$10,000 a month?
Yeah, so I was like, fuck that. I'm not doing that.
What?
Yeah.
I thought you said she was a great lady. That's a fucking terrible pricing. What?
Which is insane, but that shows where most of the guys' mindset is with their money.
Yeah,
that, like, most of them are like, no, I want a better one than that. Like, I know guys on rookie contracts, and the problem in the league is, like, all the rookies try to compete with all the vets. So they'll pull up in a Lambo or something, and the rookies are like, all right, I now got this contract. Let me go buy a Bentley. And then it's like,
oh, no.
Downhill.
You see a lot of, did you witness people just completely fuck it up with the money?
Yeah, I've kind of seen like some guys' downfalls a little bit. It's not like they went to the point they were completely bankrupt, but like there were some guys that were spending insane amounts of money.
I feel like basketball is the sport where most people blow their money, right? Most bankrupt people.
Yeah. I think that's like a fact too.
Yeah, I think so too.
I had a teammate that went to, I think it was Louis Vuitton store, and he rented out like a Mercedes van, and he filled the entire thing just at one store.
That just gave me like ick.
Yeah.
I hate spending money on like useless shit.
Yeah.
And exactly. Louis Vuitton bags are at the top of the list.
Yeah.
Your least favorite thing about being tall?
Can't find clothes to fit you the right way.
I actually have the same problem down here, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And I'm like, I guess I'm very slim. So, like, if I get a double XL, it's going to be huge on me.
Wait, let's talk about it. What size are the shoes?
14s.
What is your waist size?
Waist size, I'm like a 34 to 36.
And what's the length of the pants?
38 to 40.
Bro, my bed sheets are like a 38 to 40. What the fuck?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. That was the one nice perk of playing was, like, everything that we got. Like, a lot of times you could get things custom tailored like super easily because everybody wants your business, obviously, and they'll like sponsor you and give you shit. So
yeah,
that was like the one nice thing.
Okay, so clothes. What's your most favorite thing about being tall?
Most favorite thing about being tall is it makes basketball a little easier.
Yeah. You know, I always said if I was 6'3", I would have went to the league. But
yeah, you were a dog too in high school. You were a dog.
I was all right. I was okay enough to. You know, for a white boy. You know what they say? You know what I mean? I
got the job done.
Got the job done. I got the job done. All right, I'm trying to think of some other cool clip questions to ask. Bryce, you got anything?
Yeah, so did you say that you had to play defense for LeBron?
No, I was like, he was an example. I don't really know, honestly. Probably the best player I guarded was Klay Thompson.
Got it.
You kind of look like Klay Thompson.
A little bit.
Just thought about
maybe.
It. Yeah so a little bit.
In
With a few beers in.
Yeah.
So in the vein of that, right, like, can you just, like, kind of, like, maybe help us, like, visualize for the viewer, like, stepping onto the court in the NBA? Like, take us through it. Like, you seem like you're just, like, a solid, like, you know, you don't really get, like, affected by that. But we talked a little bit about pressure. Like, take us to that moment. Like, is it breathtaking?
The first time, yeah, for sure, because there's so much that goes into it. And like the NBA, it's entertainment, obviously. So like the theatrics around it, the arena, the environment, all that stuff, that's like, it's very stimulating. So even as a player, there's a gazillion things going on the floor.
Do you remember that exact moment? Like,
yeah, we were, well, it was the first time I stepped on the floor was preseason game at Golden State. And I think they just came off a championship that year too. So like even a preseason game sold out, fans going fucking nuts. It was like, what is life right now? Fireworks in the fucking arena and shit, you know? So yeah, it was pretty fucking wild. But at the same
time, are you super nervous at the time though or no?
At first, yeah.
Like
yeah.
You're shaking a little bit on the shot. It's coming off a little bad.
A little bit. Yeah, for sure.
Bro, because I'm thinking about we played the state semi championship at Westchester County, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I was a sophomore at the time. And we went 19-0. We were playing Clarkstown South. And we went on the field, we went on the court for warm-up, bro. I couldn't even shoot the ball. I was terrified. Yeah,
it's crazy.
We only played in front of, I don't know, maybe it was 20,000 people. I was terrified.
The most interesting thing, though, is like for me, Syracuse, we had more fans at every game than any NBA stadium.
What?
So like at that point, I was used to playing in front of a lot of people. It's just, I guess, just everything else about it. Like the fact that you're in the fucking league.
Yeah.
And like you're not guarding a guy. Guarding Klay Thompson.
Yeah, it's
like
everyone knows who they are. Yeah. That's the name.
I'm on national TV right now. Like, you could be in college and not all the games are on national TV, but like your first clip, you get fucking. Like, I got backdoor cut and he dunked. I'm like, fuck.
Oh, yeah. You're going on ESPN.
Nice one, Tyler.
So, what am I thinking about? Oh, didn't you lose your shoe in one game?
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Elite Eight against Virginia. They were the one seed. We were the 10. And first half of the game, my shoe popped off. I went to go set a screen, popped off, and my teammate grabbed it off the floor, threw it out of bounds.
And then you banged a three, right?
Yeah. I saw the shot clock was winding down, so I caught it. I shot fake, little side dribble, boom.
I remember that. Yeah. I remember that. He lost his shoe.
Yeah, I think like still goes viral. Like if I post it on Instagram, it still does. Like,
should have been an and one sock commercial.
I've had you fans like want to buy the sock off me.
Hey, yo, that's wild.
Do you still have it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You have the sock?
The sock.
You brought saved it with you.
It's for sale.
If he put
what's the number? Is it your left foot or your right foot?
Right foot.
That's good for you. You don't need a sock for your left foot. It'll be perfect.
I'll put it on the other foot.
It would just probably like go up past your knee.
Yes. It's stocking.
It's supposed to be an ankle sock to your fucking kneecap.
Exactly.
So do you feel like the business dealings that you had, and my apologies for not looking at you while I'm talking to you.
Okay.
Like the business dealings, do you think that set you up for a more well-rounded understanding of what entrepreneurship would be like for you? When you started, like, you said it was sort of like a happy accident, LMC.
Yeah.
Did the athleticism and the business dealings lead you to be a strong entrepreneur?
Yeah, I think so. I think, like the NBA, kudos to them. They do a really good job giving you, like, you have to go to all these seminars as rookies. So you learn about the financial side, like the ins and outs. So
good.
Right away, when I'm drafted and you go to, like, they call it little rookie weekend, all the rookies in the NBA go, and even some second-year guys go. It's mandatory. You have to go. It's like you're locked in this fucking hotel, basically. You're not allowed to leave. They just give you the ins and outs of everything you expect in the NBA, everything that goes with it. And the biggest thing is the financial side. So at that point, I felt like I had a really good understanding, especially prior to, like, going into it. I didn't know much about money at all. I was just a college kid, so... It definitely helped me up. It gave me a better understanding like what to expect going into business as LMC Athletics and all the other stuff that I try to do.
Do you think NBA players are underpaid, overpaid? What's your take?
They're probably paid the right way. I think it's right in between. I think the NBA is the best sport at paying their players, and like the PA, the Players Association, did a really good job negotiating their last deal with the NBA. So, like, for example, as a first-round pick, I still get, like, licensing checks from the NBA. So, like, the whole goal for them
still was, to this day?
Yeah, like, I just got one the other day.
That's dope.
Yeah. It's not like I'm sure some of these guys are making...
Oh, yeah.
Insane
yeah.
amounts, but, like, they always were trying to look out for the younger guys and any NBA player. It was like a brother. They really look at it as, like, a brotherhood. So... They killed it on that.
That's dope.
Yeah, and I think, too, like, the NBA makes a shit ton of fucking money. Yeah. So, like, the guys that are out there performing should get paid that.
Well, when you say they're the best taken care of, they don't make the most overall, but you're saying, like, the lower-level guys make more money than, like, a lower level in MLB or something? Because MLB and NFL contracts got to be bigger, no?
Yeah, no, they're definitely bigger, sure. Their rookie deals are like Joe Burrow's rookie deal. Like, what did he get?
Shit, fucking right?
50 million, 30 million guaranteed or something. Like,
it's NBA it player, way less.
An NBA player, like, you're slotted. Like, you could look up right now, like, this coming draft, what the first rounders are going to make. You can find all of it. It says if you're the one pick, you get 12 million. If you're the 30, you know? But more so, like, they did a really good job setting up guys for after basketball. Like, once their career was done, there's a lot of plans that were in place for them to still continue to get the benefits of being an NBA player.
Got it.
That's smart.
The number one pick this year, and I guess it's for this year that already passed, Bryce Young.
That's football, I think.
Yeah, that's football.
Oh, shit. Sorry, guys.
That's the quarterback for Alabama. Alabama. Yeah.
I remember we were having a conversation about this. I think it was at the Vault.
Like 10 million.
2 years ago. College players getting paid.
Yeah.
Do college players get paid now?
Yeah. Well,
were you getting paid?
No.
So you just said that.
I wish. You just said that. I would tell you if I was lying.
You had more fans show out to a Syracuse game than some NBA games. Now, don't you think that some of the players, like, in that day, you were bringing traffic, bro?
Yeah. So the year we went to the Final Four, someone came out with an article that everybody on the roster, so even like the guys that walk onto the team that don't have a scholarship, like just practice players, everybody, 1 through I think 18 at that time, there's 18 guys on the roster, would have got paid like 1.5 mil off of our run to just that year to the Final Four.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's fucking insane.
Like, don't you think that maybe if you guys are bringing in that much traffic, you might deserve a check?
It would have been nice for
sure.
Well,
that was a talk around.
Now, don't you think on the devil's advocate side of that, how many young kids would that destroy
That's the
college
issue.
Players were getting checks like that.
Yeah.
Maybe they could have something like a players association that takes that money and invests it for you. You can't touch it till you're 24 or something.
Yeah. I mean, you look at it now, like what it's doing, it's ruining college kids, athletics. Yeah. Like, look at Nick Saban left, and he just was in that interview the other day, and he's like, I stopped because every kid fucking wants to know how much money they're going to make for me next year. It's like, this is college sports, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like on both sides, because going through it, I was like, I should be getting paid. There's no way I don't deserve like a chunk of this, right? Even if it was from like jersey sales, something, you know? But I also see that side where it's completely ruining college sports.
Yeah. You know, it's a hard balance. It's like if you're bringing in the traffic,
they should give the money to the team, and the team should
be divvied up and have expenses and stuff. I don't know. Yeah. That's weird, because you're right. Like, you're making 10 mil in, or 1 mil even. Even at 500,000 in college.
Yeah.
Like, that's
ridiculous.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think there's a much better solution to what's going on, and so they should have been doing something for a long time, for sure. Mm.
I was just watching the Shannon Sharpe and Johnny Manziel interview.
Yeah.
Well, he was he would have been making like 20 million a year.
Insane.
20 million a year as a college athlete for bringing in as many views as he did. That's crazy.
That is wild.
Yeah. I could not imagine.
That's crazy.
So sometimes when you're on the court, actually probably almost every time you're on the court, it can get pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
One NBA player you would punch in the face today.
Fuck. I don't know.
Come on. It's going to be somebody who you're like, that fucking guy, I still want to punch him.
Probably Kyle Kuzma.
You fucking watch out, Kyle.
Really?
Only reason.
That kind of makes sense, actually.
He was with my agency. So we like went through the pre-draft process I talked about before together. Same exact position. He got drafted by the Lakers at 27. I was ahead of him at 24. But he went to a shitty Lakers team, so he got to play right away. I didn't. He's now a $100 million guy in the NBA. I'm not. So,
damn.
So I mean that with a lot of respect. It's not like I dislike him at all. Like, he's a great kid.
Yeah, a lot of the sports, a lot of that stuff, man, is just luck. And like,
you just need an opportunity.
Only, yeah.
That's all it is. You just need one opportunity.
You have to play long enough to be the... Exactly. Yo, when we were at the Volt Conference, we were talking about Tom Brady. You remember Tom Brady's story where he played his first year in college, and then he was redshirted. And then his second year, he played a couple games, but then they put him back down. And then his third year, he thought he was going to start for sure. And then they drafted somebody from high school, and then he rode the bench again. And then his fourth year, it was like, all right, I'm a senior, I'm finally going to get to play. And they split times with the other guy. And he's like, yo, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's insane.
You know? And then he becomes Tom Brady.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
I have more respect for that man as an athlete than any other man in the world.
Yeah.
I don't think
his story is nuts.
Like, I don't even think MJ holds a candle to his legacy, and I don't care what anybody thinks about that.
Yeah.
That
who do you think is the GOAT of all sports? All sports greatest to ever.
Michael Phelps.
I guess that's hard to be true.
Me and my buddy actually literally had this conversation last night.
Damn,
so
that's
all. Oh, yeah? That take. Came so quick.
Yeah,
it was
that
like
was
him,
quick.
Gretzky.
Yeah.
Like you could look at Wayne.
I don't know too much about hockey to really know.
But when you look at his accolades, insane.
Yeah.
Insane. I forget this, like how many MVPs he won by the time he was like 23 or something, or 22. It was like fucking already had 3 under his belt.
I just think for Tom Brady to leave his team and then go win another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Solo dolo is like.
Did you ever watch the documentary on it? The documentary on Tom Brady? Man in the Arena? Or Man on Fire? No, Man in the Arena.
Yeah, that's what it's called,
Oh, sick documentary.
Is that the one where he kisses his sons?
Michael Phelps is definitely
I think so.
That's a hot take, though. Yeah. I think you might have something there.
Yeah,
I never
you're probably
even
right.
considered him, but he's...
Yeah.
Doesn't he have more...
Greatest Olympian
of all
time.
He still has more gold medals than anyone ever?
Anybody, yeah. Ever. That's the best of the best, like being an Olympian, too.
We got Ali Krieger. Speaking of which, Ali Krieger, 2-time gold medal Olympian, coming to the event.
Yep. Were you it's familiar legit. With Ali before or
no.
not really?
So how do you guys feel about Olympic basketball versus NBA, though? What's your take on that?
I played for Team USA, too. So
wait, what?
Yeah,
that's crazy.
For the U18 team. Yeah. So when I was going into my senior year at New Hampton Prep, I made the USA U18 team. I think it's weird just because they play the FIBA rules. So I'm so used to fucking like normal basketball rules. Yeah, we're going.
Chinese FIBA
sure.
rules.
So I think it's interesting the way the game has to change and manipulate to the way they play in FIBA and overseas and stuff.
Major
when
differences.
NBA is the...
What are the major differences for people who know?
There's really not like a major difference. That's the thing. Like there's small minor details on how you could get called for like a travel. I guess a major one that would be easy to relate to is like if somebody shoots it in FIBA, and the ball's rattling around the rim, you can go hit it out. The NBA, you can't, obviously. It's goaltending.
I can't do that no matter where we are.
Would be on the foul line, and it would hit the rim once, and you're just 7-footers going up and batting it out of there.
Oh, wow.
So it's just
that's
so
interesting.
Weird. Yeah, it's weird.
And that's, what is FIBA? Europe basketball?
Basically. Yeah. I mean, pretty much everybody else outside of
the NBA?
The NBA follows FIBA.
That's some American-ass shit, bro. Yeah. Always.
Literally.
Always.
Yeah. Like the Eurostep, though, isn't that because traveling's different or in FIBA or not?
No, the reason they call it Eurostep is because of this guy, Manu Ginobili.
Manu Ginobili.
Yeah.
My guy.
From
you ever seen Manu Ginobili?
I have no clue what I'm talking about. I blacked out 30 minutes
Manu
ago.
Manu Ginobili looks like he should be somebody's father and should be sitting at home watching basketball.
Yeah.
And he was nasty.
Yeah.
And he had his sexy little step.
Oh, okay.
They named him because he was European as hell.
Yeah. That was crazy. Yeah. Swatting the bat is insane. Yeah.
So when you were growing up, like, what was the first time? Because, like, you weren't tall when you were 5 years old, were you? Like,
No.
When was, like, your, like, maybe it was with your family, maybe it was on the court with friends. Like, when did you, like, realize, like, oh, like, this is, when did you start playing? And when did you realize, like, yo, this is, like, going to be my dream?
Well, you know, his two brothers are, like, 5'6", right?
Yeah.
I'm only kidding.
They're all huge. Eighth grade. That's
that
I was
late.
Playing with, yeah, because just because I was playing with a local team, AAU team, travel team, and I just was like fucking everybody up around here, and I was like, all right, I need to like take this to the next level. Went to a bigger program and was still doing really well there. And I was like, all right, and I loved basketball, so it was always something that I kind of wanted to do, and playing the NBA was like a dream. But that's when I was like, all right, it's time to, maybe we take this a little bit more seriously.
But where did the love for basketball come from? Just random?
My mom was a hooper. She was really good. She had some Division I offers, but she ended up playing just at Dutchess Community College. Cause back then there was no like WNBA when she played.
So wow.
She was like, all right, she was dating my dad at the time, I'm pretty sure. And, she was like, I'm just going to stay local. And I think they won a national championship there too. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. So it comes from your mom being an athlete. Got it.
Yeah.
So did she used to train with you like when you were little?
She wouldn't like put us through drills, but she was the one that like taught me how to shoot. And that's kind of what I'm known for, I guess, as a basketball player. So she taught us a lot of what we know. And then a lot came from just getting my ass whipped by my older brother and one-on-one and stuff like that.
Got it. Okay. So there was that. You did have that like ass whooping element.
Oh, yeah.
Not just because I'm sure a mom helping you learn is different than like a strict dad type.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, she's super competitive. So it was like
kind
of the same, I guess. But my parents were awesome. They were never like, you got to go to fucking practice. Like, get your ass out there. Now, like, we just wanted the shit, you know? And I always had my older brother, and he was better than me till a certain point. And I always wanted to be better than him. And we would just go play one-on-one all day. And then my two younger brothers came along. It turned into two-on-two. And that's all we did. It was fucking just hoop.
That's amazing.
Yeah. That's dope. Yeah. That's like, I can relate when I was younger. My brothers are all a little bigger than me.
Yeah.
They're like fake 6 foot. So they would whoop my ass all day. I got four brothers.
Yep, I got three.
And my older brothers whooped my ass all day long. So I was always fighting and wrestling with them. And then when I got into wrestling when I was younger, I was wrestling kids my size. Yeah. So I went 14-0, pinned every fucking... It was like, that's my competition?
Yeah.
It was crazy. Yeah. It was like, wasn't even fair. I was making kids cry and shit. But then I didn't end up taking it seriously, which kind of sucked. I wish I did. I would have been good.
Yeah.
What made you take it so serious at the end? Like, because you thought you could get the NBA? Or you just got
serious? I think, like, if my dad was off to the side right now, he would tell you, like, I'm a little fucked up in the head. Like, I'm just crazy. Like, about... just being a workaholic. I always felt like no matter how good somebody was, I could outwork them. And that was just something I relied on. And so I loved feeling like shit after a workout and like getting my ass fucking kicked, you know, or like getting in a fight on the court, whatever it was. I was like addicted to it in a sense. So I was just in the gym nonstop, and it was always a dream to play, and it panned out, but. Yeah.
We're workaholics over here too. It's like different, see, different, but
for sure, no, it's all the same.
You're supposed to though, bro. Yeah. Like, what is normal? Like, what does that mean? You're supposed to not work all the time and not have a good life.
Exactly.
I don't understand. Yeah.
Any wild like workout routines or like habits that you practice? Like,
eat half an onion every morning or something crazy, like some fucking
or waking up mad early.
Yeah, I mean, when I was at prep school, me and my coach at the time, when I was getting recruited, I still remember it was like Virginia or Louisville. Somebody called him up and was like, "Hey, how often is he in the gym? Like, what's his work ethic really like? You know, because everyone says they work out." And my coach was like, "No, he's the hardest worker I've ever had." But at that point in high school, I was in the gym about 7 hours a day. So I would get up with him, and basically I structured my whole class day around basketball. Get up, I would work out for an hour and a half before school with my coach. I'd go to my first class, I'd have an hour break, I'd go right to the gym, shoot for an hour, you know, and like it just would repeat all day long. I'd be in the gym lifting for an hour and a half, all of it. So every day it was roughly 5.5 to 7 hours that I was in there every single day.
You must have smelled like ass.
Yeah, I mean, I would take a shower, bro.
I had to throw something at you.
No, yeah. So
that's amazing.
But
that's
here comes Tyler.
Yeah, that
after his sixth workout today in his last class,
full cafeteria clears out.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah. But that's what's funny to me. Like working with the kids now, it's like you guys have no idea what this shit takes.
Oh, bro, that video of you tearing those kids apart.
No idea.
Oh, it brought me joy. Did you guys see the video?
Yes.
Of him tearing these kids apart? He was like, "You don't understand. Your parents work fucking hard and you're here in practice right now and you're not even taking it serious."
Do they get it though? Like, because they're so young, they don't get it, right?
No. Oh, that came across pretty clear to me.
Because I got it at that age. Like, I understood that at 15, 16 years old.
Something's totally, I mean, I don't know
the generation of kids.
It's social media. Yeah, I think it's all social media, bro.
Yeah. They like
soft ass motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Interesting. Are you sure it's not like demographical? Do you see a difference in people from different areas?
No.
It's all them. All the generation.
Yeah, bro. It's the propagation machine.
Yeah. I mean, I have
social media.
I have kids from like literally every walk of life, from the inner city to the country where I grew up, and in between, money, no money, like, and every kid is like the same.
They're just bratty fucks.
They don't know how to fucking work hard. Even the kids that don't, like, I would think if I was in a situation where I didn't have money, I would fucking work hard to get money.
Right.
And they're just content with not having money. Right. It's like,
do you still see a lot of competitiveness in kids and people?
No.
See, like, I feel like that's where it's more like rooted in.
Yeah. I like want kids to fight sometimes on the floor.
Yeah. Oh no, I know.
Like, where is that? It's gone. Nobody. Zero. Not a single
bro. In our office, sales office, we try to create friction between guys sometimes. Yeah. You know? It's like you need that masculine.
I put them in specific situations where I'm like, go figure it the fuck out, but you got to compete and you got to want the shit. And they both just like lay flat on the ground, give up. Yeah,
that's
I mean,
crazy.
The guys that you really see it with are the ones that are already in college. you know, and already are playing at that level. Mm-hmm. So don't get me wrong. Like, it's not like I have zero kids. Of course. Like that. There's a couple, but it's few and far between, you know?
Where do you think the future of the NBA? Do you think the NBA is getting better or worse?
Worse. Too offensive-oriented, too boring to watch just because the scores are 130 to 125. They need to fix, or not even fix, but they just need to go back to some of the older rules, honestly. Allow the defense to be more physical, hand-checking, simple shit like that, with the entertainment aspect of the high-flying dunking and all that bullshit that they, you know. So I think it's just worse because it's so offensive-oriented. They just want scoring to go through the roof to get views and all that stuff.
At the end of the day, what's your message to everybody out there?
My message to everybody out there. Fuck. I don't know. Work. Get money.
Yeah, I knew you'd have some answer.
Wait, that might be one of my favorites. Just work and get money. Yeah, you heard it here,
fucking
kids.
No.
That's a great message.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
That's figure a great it message. The fuck out.
Work hard, make money, and figure it the fuck out.
That's it.
You heard it here, kids.
Yo.
All right.
All right. See you, folks. March 30th.
Pictures? Where's my fucking table that I can stand on?
Yo. You fucking know your things.
Guys are looking sharp.
Zach Dingy.
Tony Cavallari.
2 Dudes, 3 Legs podcast, where we share business tips, interview experts,
and travel the world.
This week on 2 Dudes, 3 Legs.